us go. Well, good morning, church. That was so quiet. It's fitting, as Joe said, we're talking about weariness today, right? Because you seem tired. If we haven't met, my name is Tim. I'm one of our English pastors here at ECAC. It's such a joy to join you and be here this morning with you all. We're going to talk about weariness. Again, we're going to be looking at some spiritual shifts. And I know it's October now. It's kind of blows my mind. It's already October. Who here is feeling a little tired? Yep. See, I asked that before the message, and then after there better be less hands, right? We're all feeling kind of tired, and we all know what it feels like to be kind of weary and experience exhaustion. So if I can get my slides up, today we're going to be looking at another spiritual shift, and we're going to be looking at shifting from weariness towards joy-fueled strength. So again, this is from something we've been doing for the past few weeks where it's based off of a prayer guide that our denomination, the Alliance, gave to us. And we found it a very helpful prayer guide, so we kind of wanted to base this series off of it. So this is the shift. It's really shifts from our own hearts and our own really ways of death towards God's ways of life. Shifting ourselves to the way everlasting that God leads us to. And this is our shift today. In this October Sunday morning, where are we feeling weary and exhausted and maybe overwhelmed? So we're going to be looking at this shift this morning. And I want to start this by looking at a story in the Old Testament in a book that maybe we're not super familiar with. We're going to be looking at the book of Nehemiah. And this is a really interesting book. It's at the towards the end of the historical books of the people of Israel. So if you know about the history of God's people, I'll run through this quick, I promise. History of God's people, God, he leads them into the promised land, and they're in this land, but they're disobedient to God. And eventually they get exiled out of their land, and they're living as captives in a foreign land for quite a long time. What's happening in this book of Nehemiah is it's the story of God's people returning home. So by this period of time, it was the Persians that held them captive. And surprisingly, in the story, they had grace. This is at the beginning of the book of Ezra. They had grace and said, you know what, you guys can start going home. So these two books, Ezra and Nehemiah, in our Old Testament, are all about, okay, Israel is returning back to their homeland. What's going on? How do they rebuild as a nation after being exiled for a whole generation? Like, how are they rebuilding as the people of God? And that's what these two books, Ezra and Nehemiah, are all about. So there's a bunch that they're doing. They're trying to rebuild the walls of the city. They're trying to relearn how to work together. They're rebuilding the temple, and they're trying to figure out what it means to have a spiritual life now that they're back in their homeland. And today we're going to be specifically looking at Nehemiah chapter 8. And this is really a beautiful story where all of the people, it tells us all of the people at the beginning of chapter 8, they come to the leaders of Israel and they ask them to read them scripture. They go to the leaders. It's this time of like great unity, actually. It's a really cool story. They go to the leaders and they ask, would you read us the Bible? Would you start to read us the law that God gave us? So this is what's happening. And the leaders are reading this to them. And I'm going to read just these few verses out of chapter 8. It says this: they read out of the book of the law of God, translating and giving them the meaning, so that the people could understand what was read. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go and eat what is rich and drink what is sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared, since today is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, since today is holy. Don't grieve. Then all the people began to eat and drink, send portions, and have a great celebration, because they had understood the words that were explained to them. The word of the Lord. So this day, they're talking about this is a day of celebration. What's happening? The Jewish people, they had these festival feasts, and there were these religious feasts, these days of celebration, really, where they would recognize who God is and who he is to them, and that they are God's people. It was a time of celebration, but you'll notice throughout this story, what are the Israelites doing? They're crying. Why? Like, they came to the leaders, they asked, would you read us the Bible? We want to hear what God says to us. And it tells us that they just start weeping. And on this day of great celebration, here they are, they're mourning and they're crying and weeping and grieving. What is going on? And really what's happening is they came to the leaders, and keep in mind they'd been out of their land for a long time. They'd been held captive. They didn't really know what was expected of them. So they came to the leaders. They asked, would you read the Bible to us? And the leaders, they read it to them, and the people feel so deeply convicted. And they feel the weight of their imperfection. And it makes them cry. They start mourning and realizing, oh my goodness, we are not living how God wants us to live. And they feel the weight of their imperfection, the weight of their flaws. They're realizing, wow, God wants us to live one way, and we have not been doing that. And they all collectively as a community start to weep. They realize they're not living how God wants them to live. They realize they've been living lives of disobedience. They haven't lived up to the law. Every single one of them is imperfect. And they feel the weight of that. They feel the weight of their imperfection. They feel the weight of their flaws and of their sins. Maybe it's a weight we can relate with. You know, conviction is a good thing. Feeling convicted, it's a good thing. When the Holy Spirit, he convicts us. Maybe you've been sinning, or there's a specific thing in your life that the Holy Spirit wants to free you from, and you feel kind of bad about it. That can be a good thing. Conviction is good. But when we start to be overburdened by this weight of imperfection, and it overwhelms us with guilt and with shame, that's different. And that is not God's desire for our lives. Conviction is good, but when we feel overburdened by shame and just despair that I'm never going to be good enough, that's something different. And that's not God's goal for us. So I think it's interesting in this story, we see a shift. All the people, they're crying and they're weeping and they're grieving. What do the leaders tell them to do? They say, don't cry. They say, don't grieve. This isn't a time for mourning, but go and start to feast. It's like the complete opposite, right? Like they're just weeping and crying together, and they're saying, go, have a feast, have a party, have fun, enjoy yourself. Ecclesiastes, the ancient wisdom book in the Old Testament, chapter 3, it says this. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And even more than that, I think that the leaders, so Ezra, Nehemiah, the Levites, the spiritual leaders of Israel, they looked at the people and they saw that they were overwhelmed and burdened by their imperfection. That had become such a weight on them, and they're encouraging them to know that God is merciful. You know, it's good that the Israelites recognized they were doing wrong. It's good. They clearly recognize they shouldn't be sinning, and that they should change, and that they should not sin anymore. It's very clear we would call that repentance, that they are repentant and changing. And I think the leaders are encouraging them that God is merciful, that God does forgive, and that we don't have to always carry that weight because of God's great mercy. So they tell them, rather than crying, go and feast. Go and have joy. And I love the line, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Carrying your weight of imperfection and shame is not your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Go and feast. The fear of not knowing how God wanted them to live is replaced by joy as they start to more and more realize that they are God's people. This is a shift for the Israelites from weariness and a little bit more towards joy-fueled strength. So why don't we look a little bit at our own weight of imperfection that we sometimes carry. Right, the Israelites, they're weeping and they're mourning. It's kind of this dramatic story because they feel overwhelmed because they realize, wow, I'm really imperfect. I'm more imperfect and I'm more messed up than I even realize. And that's such a heavy weight on them. They saw how perfect they wanted to be and they realized they would never reach it. Church, can't we relate? Do we know what it looks like to carry this burden of realizing I'm never going to be as good as I want to be? Do we ever feel exhausted from striving to be perfect? Do you ever feel exhausted from the expectations you put on yourself, or maybe that you feel like others put on you? Do we grow tired and weary? What are we chasing in life that overwhelms us? Are we trying to chase success? Are we trying to be perfect? Is it moral perfection? Maybe even as you show up on a Sunday morning, you're here and you're trying to be the perfect Christian. And all these things can add to our weight and our weariness. There's so many ways we can experience this. I think all of us, we try to prove ourselves, right? We try to prove ourselves and try to prove to others that we're good enough. Maybe even prove to myself that I'm good enough. And then we can start to burn out. Maybe you do a lot of volunteer work, maybe even in the church, and you're starting to feel the weight of that. Or maybe you take on too much at work or at school because you're trying to prove something. Maybe you're just trying to be that perfect person or that perfect Christian. Maybe you really feel like you can never make mistakes. These things are all weights that can make us very exhausted and lead us to weariness. Maybe you feel like, even on a Sunday, I think is a good example. Maybe you feel like at church you have to put on a performance and put on a smile, and that can be so exhausting. Maybe we're exhausted from shame as we realize, you know what, I always mess up. No matter how hard I try, I'm never perfect, and that can be so heavy, and we can feel so burdened by that. We can grow so weary. And I think we can all relate to this. Even right now, it's October, right? And as the fall comes, I find life can get a lot more hectic and a lot more busy. And maybe in the fall, more than any other season, you feel burdens and weights and weariness. And even as the seasons change, our mood often changes with the weather, doesn't it? We can become so burdened by our environment and different expectations in our lives. And I don't think Christians, I don't think we're always supposed to be these happy people. I think there are times we are definitely meant to struggle and sometimes even meant to suffer. But as Christians, in the fullness of Jesus, we are not meant to be overwhelmed or overburdened. We should be a people of great joy. But how do we do that? How are we a people that aren't overburdened and a people of joy even when life is so heavy? And we can reflect on that, and we can look to the words of Jesus. As we reflect, even, where do we feel weary today? Where do we feel overwhelmed today? Where do we feel overburdened? Where am I chasing perfection? Where am I trying to be too perfect, even though I'll never make it? What burdens are weighing you down today? And we can look at the words of our Jesus in Matthew 11. And he says this to each of us. Each of us who are overwhelmed and overburdened and it feels so heavy and we feel the weight of expectations and of life, Jesus looks at us and he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These are the words of our Lord. As I work through that section on our own weariness, I'm sure we can all relate. We all of us, every one of us, we know what it means to feel weary and burdened. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Jesus, notice he doesn't say, try harder. Try harder to be perfect. He doesn't say, keep going. He says, come to me. Even us who are messed up and overburdened and feel the weight, come to Jesus. And maybe that's different practically than what we often do, right? If we feel overburdened or overwhelmed, often, first thing we do maybe isn't going to Jesus. Maybe we try to find distractions in our lives. We try to kind of numb ourselves with different vices in our own life when we feel this way. Maybe we just try to stuff it down more and just try to put on that smile and try to pretend that we're okay. Maybe we just try to work harder, just completely ignore how we're feeling. But Jesus says, no, come to me. And you will find rest. This is the great answer to our dilemma of Jesus. He says, come to me. Literally, the idea, I think, is give all of ourselves to Jesus. Every part of ourselves. Don't wait until you're perfect to go to Jesus. Don't wait until things feel really good and right in your life to go to Jesus. Don't just present the good parts of yourself to him. But he says, if you are weary and overburdened in that place where you feel messed up and you don't feel right, bring all of that to him. Bring it all to Jesus, and we can lay down our pain and our weariness at his feet. And he walks with us. This is the beautiful call of Jesus and his invitation for us to shift, not according to our own strength, but by him. Who's Jesus talking to when he said this? His audience is a people who felt very burdened and overwhelmed by all of the laws and the regulations of that day. So these are people who their focus in life was to maintain all of the laws and to follow hundreds of laws and try to live it out perfectly. And it was such a weight on the people. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus, he's talking about the Pharisees. And really the Pharisees were like the police of the law, making sure everyone followed it. And he says that the Pharisees tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, right? It's such a weight, this weight of expectation to be perfect. It can be overwhelming to the people. They're trying to be perfect. They're trying to follow every law perfectly, and it's a weight on them. And Jesus looks at people like these, and he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. This is the great invitation of our Lord. And he talks about this yoke. What does this mean? What is this yoke? And you're probably familiar with it if you've been in the church for a while. But really the picture here is you can imagine two oxen it would have been. And what a yoke is it connects the two together. So it would connect to them at the head. It would have been a wood bar that connects their two heads together. So really Jesus' invitation is come and be connected with me. And he will lead us. He will guide us. He will teach us and help us. It's the call of Jesus. That word easy, he says, my yoke is easy. It's a beautiful word, actually. Really, it means good, kind. It means loving. It's not pressing. Jesus, he doesn't want us to attach to his yoke so he can push us farther. It's so that we can find true rest and experience his great love for us as we submit ourselves to him. Right, because when we go to Jesus and we take his yoke, we are following him. And that means that we're not following our expectations of perfection. We're not following whatever expectations we feel like other people put on us. We're not following and chasing after perfection or trying to be the perfect or ideal image of myself. No, we are following Jesus. And that can be different. And Jesus, he teaches us. Right, the assumption is one of the oxen in this imagery would be stronger than the other. So he leads us and he also teaches us. He teaches us how to walk with him and be faithful to him. We obey God as Christians, not by our own strength. We aren't better Christians because we try harder, but we are better Christians by the very strength of Christ himself. In everything we do, it is Christ himself who is leading us, who is guiding us, who is enabling us and teaching us and living through us as he empowers us by his Spirit. And in this picture of a yoke, I think there's an obvious irony here, right? He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come and find rest. But that picture of being attached to a yoke, it kind of sounds like a burden, right? Doesn't that kind of sound kind of scary and kind of intense? I think that was intentional by Jesus. When we look at what it means to follow Jesus, it can be intimidating, can't it? It can be really scary. Like, what are you calling us to, Jesus? It can seem overwhelming from the outside. It can look really scary when you're on the outside looking in. Like those followers of Jesus, they have to give up so much to follow him. It can seem like a lot, but when you do it, you experience true joy and strength and life. But that's really the idea here. Once, probably a couple of years ago, I was listening to somebody talk about faith, and they were kind of like not fully into the faith. They were kind of wrestling with it still. And they asked a question that really stuck with me. They asked, can I even keep up with the expectations of Christian faith? Can I even keep up with the expectations of Christian faith? And that really struck me. Can I even keep up with it? Can I be a Christian? It looks like so much. And I want to be clear here. The call of Jesus is an extreme call. It's an extreme call. Jesus, he looks at us and he calls us to follow him and to give up everything for him. The call of Jesus, it's a big and a huge call. How does Jesus describe being a Christian? He describes it as taking up our cross. Think about that. That's how Jesus describes being a Christian. We're a people that take up our own crosses. It's a huge and an intense call to follow Jesus wherever he goes. And it takes everything from us and it changes how we live and how we think and we sacrifice everything for Jesus. But this is not a burden. From the outside looking in, that's such a scary call to take up my cross and give up everything to follow Jesus. It seems so scary, but surprisingly, this is not a burden.
His yoke is easy, kind, loving. His burden is light. He shows us the way and we walk with him. And even though it might look from the outside like we are losing everything, we are actually gaining everything because we gain Christ himself. We gain true life. And we experience the great love of our Savior as he walks with us and teaches us. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I love in the Nehemiah story, it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Right? The weight and the burden of perfection is not our strength. No, the joy of the Lord is. I don't think we're called to lead in ministry or to work in life tired or overburdened. But when we walk with Jesus and we are attached to him and we are with Christ, we experience great joy. And that's where it leads us. Eugene Peterson, he has a great quote. He says, "Joy is not a requirement of Christian discipleship. It is a consequence." You don't have to have joy to become a Christian, but as you walk with Jesus and you experience his easy and light yoke, we become a people of great joy. So as we look at our own weariness and the burdens that we might have on ourselves, Jesus, he doesn't look at us and tell us to try harder, to be better, to take on more weight. He says, "Come to me. Come to me." And that's his call for us today. And we can praise God that in Christ we are free from self-effort. We're free from self-improvement. We're free from just trying harder. We're free from that constant struggle with guilt and of shame from our sin. Following Jesus, it's not something we do out of exhaustion. It's not something that is horribly burdensome to us, but it's a great joy. When we are with Christ, we aren't worn down by it, trying to be better and better, but we who follow Jesus are a people of great joy because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It is a great joy to follow Jesus. And when we come to him, we find true life. Maybe today, as we were reflecting on our own weariness and exhaustion, and you were kind of sitting in that, maybe it's hard to think of joy. Joy does not mean everything in my life is going perfect. Joy doesn't mean I always have a smile on my face. I think sometimes in the midst of life, joy can be defiant. Right? I can't promise God is just going to snap his fingers and make everything in your life the way you want it to be. He won't just give you everything you necessarily want, but he will show you the way. And he will give you something much greater as we experience his presence and his love and his life. So this is our shift today from our weariness and towards joy-fueled strength. And I hope you're getting this, that we're not doing this by trying harder. We experience this by coming to Jesus, by accepting this yoke that he offers us to walk closer with him. This shift for us. I love how dramatic the shift is in that story in Nehemiah, right? They're weeping collectively as a community, and then that shift where all of a sudden the next moment they're feasting, right? They're having a party and they're celebrating this radical shift. Karl Barth, the great theologian, he once said, "Laughter is the closest thing to the grace of God." Laughter is the closest thing to the grace of God. Christians are meant to experience true joy. We should laugh and live joy-filled lives, not because everything's going how we always want it to go, but because we know Jesus and he gives us grace and forgiveness and he carries us and leads us and teaches us because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Church, we can experience this practically as we go to Jesus. So I want to spend a little bit of time in prayer with this. First, just asking, where are we feeling overburdened and weary today? And then we'll have a minute to come to Christ. So Jesus, right now I pray that you would just be with us in this space and that you would bring to mind where today we feel overwhelmed and burdened. So just sit in this space for a minute and reflect, what weight and burdens are you carrying here today? What kind of perfection are we chasing? What kind of expectations have we put on ourselves or feel that others have placed on us? And we can ask today, Jesus, where are you inviting me to rest? Jesus, we so love your call to not try harder, to not do better, but to come to you. And we who are weary and overburdened, you will give us rest. So Jesus, now, today, we come to you. God, lift our burdens and our weariness. For those of us here today that maybe we're trying to put on a smile, but deep down we feel so heavy and weighed down. Jesus, we come to you. Would we experience your presence today? In Jesus' name, amen.